Begin the current top of Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Chav Gimel. Begin on the top of the Amud, we begin the new parak, the third parak of Masechta Sanhedrin, Parak Zeb Bayer. The parak opens up, the Mishnah, actually quoting a halacha that began the Masechta, the first parak, which we opened up on Daf Beis. It says, Dinim Amun Espeshleisha, monetary laws are with three judges. Then actually comes the title of the parak, which is the concept of Zeb Bayer Lo Echad. So this litigant, there's usually two litigants, one against the other. So this litigant chooses for himself one, and this one chooses for himself one. And the two of them then choose another one. That's the opinion of Reb Meir. Now, the simple reading of it sounds like that a court of monetary law is with three judges. Then it says, okay, one of the litigants chooses one court of three judges. The other one chooses a court of three judges, which is six. Then the two of them choose another one, which is nine. And that's why the Gemara is going to ask, what's the Bar Le'echad? Why are they choosing nine judges, which is three groups of three, when it's enough to have just one group of three judges? But that's the opinion of Reb Meir. Now, Chomer, they say, Shnei Dayonin Bar Lehen Oid Echad. No, the two judges, they go ahead and choose the third one. So, yeah, they agree to Reb Meir regarding that the first litigant chooses one and the second one chooses the other one. The question was regarding the third, that Reb Meir says that the two litigants choose the third one, and the Chacham say that no, it's actually the two that were already chosen, they choose the third one. That's one halacha. Another machlekes Reb Meir and the Chacham is regarding the following halacha. Zeh poisel dayonu shel zeh. This litigant could invalidate and void that person's judge, and this one could invalidate, could void the other person's judge, that's the Reb Meir. But Chamayrim, they disagree. They say, no, Amasai, when would we say that? That's Bisman Shemevi Alein Raya, that's only if this litigant brings proof, Shane Craven, or Basulin, that those judges that the other one chose are either his relatives or they're invalid. Avlam Hayu Kasherim, but if they were valid people, or they were experts based on the courts, and they can't just invalidate them, and that would not be something that he could do. Third halacha. Zeh paisel edib shal zeh. Continue on the machlekes Reb Meir and the Chachamim. Reb Meir says that this litigant could invalidate that person's witness. Zeh paisel edib shal zeh. And this litigant could invalidate that person's witnesses. That's the Reb Meir. The Chachamim and the Chachamim say, wait, Amos said, when would we say that? Only if he proves that those witnesses are invalid, either because they're relatives to that person, which invalidates them, or they're intrinsically invalid, as a thief or other things like that. But they were upstanding people that are saying testimony. The litigant cannot just invalidate his other person's, the one who's contending with that person's witnesses. Now the Gemara asked regarding the opening line of the Mishnah, which we had already alluded to the Gemara's question, by Mai Zeh Bar Le'echad V'Zeh Bar Le'echad. What does it mean? This one chooses one, which we said sounds like he's choosing a court, and then the two of them choose another court. But Lo Sasagi, it's enough with one court of three. What's this that they're choosing each one a court? So the Gemara Nohachikam, and this is what it's saying. Kish Zeh Bar Le'Bezen Echad, when this one chooses one court, and the other one chooses a different court, and each one is voiding the other person's court, and he doesn't want, you want that court? No, I don't want that bezin. I'm choosing this bezin. No, I don't want that one. So then, when each one chose one, and they don't want each other's, that's when the Mishnah continues. It says, Shnein bar lehen oid echad. So then the two of them have to choose a third court. In other words, they cannot force each other to go to their bezin. Rather, they're going to have to end up agreeing upon the two of them to a third court. Now that the Gemara asks, "Vafila leiva matzim akiv," it's saying that that's the way it always works. That each one can invalidate the other ones until they agree upon a mutual bezdin. So let's say the court case is between a lender who is taking a borrower to court that he should pay up his debt. So would that be even the case that a borrower could say to the lender, "Say, no, I don't want to go to your court. I want to go to a different court." And until they agree upon a mutual court, then he can't be forced to go to court. But Rav Rabbalaza, but Rabbalaza says, brought later on the parakan of Lamed Aleph Beis, that Loi Shana, we didn't learn the halacha regarding if, let's say, one of the two litigants says, let's have the court case over here in the local court. The other one says, no, I want to go to what's called the Beis Havad, the House of the Assembly, which is further, but it's more thorough. So the halacha is that we could force him to have the other litigant to go to the Beis Havad. So Rabbalaza qualified that halacha and said that we only learned Ela Malva. That's only if the lender says, let's go to the Beis Avad. And the reason for that is a pasuk says, Evid Leva L'Ish Malva, because the borrower is indebted he's like almost a what of a servant to the lender because he owes the money to the lender. The lender did him a favor and lent the money. So if the lender wants to go to that type of court, the borrower has to acquiesce. Avoleva, but says Rabbi Elazar, but the borrower, kaifin naisa b'dam b'iray. If he says, no, I don't want to go to this court, I want to go to the big court. So no, we forced him and he has to have the court case here in his city. So how can you say that the halacha is that each one can refuse the other one's court, but that can't be carte blanche. That's not the case because there are certain cases like the borrower where you do force him to go to the court of the lender. So how could you say that he could just refuse it and until they come to a mutual bezdin? Says the Gemara, could the Amr Rabbi Yechanan? It's like Rabbi Yechanan says later on in the sugya on the staff that regarding the question that he's addressing, that our koyish besur yishanu, that we're not talking about a regular best, we're talking about a secular Jewish court like those that they had of the courts of Syria, in Syria. So hachinami bar koyish besur yishanu. Says the Gemara, in our case too, and in the explanation of the halacha of a Mishnah, it's talking about where that the lender, yeah, even with the lender and the borrower, the lender wanted to take the borrower to the secular courts of Syria, which they weren't so well versed in Torah law. Even the borrower could say, I don't want to. But you're right, if it was an expert court, a regular bezdin, then of course the borrower could not refuse, and then he would have to go. This, and the Mishnah says, he's choosing one, and he's choosing one, and they both don't want the other ones, then they could have to agree upon the third one, which is even for the borrower to the lender, that's only if it's a akoy shabasurya. But a regular bezdin, you're right, the borrower, as we find that Rabbi Elazar says, would not be able to avoid going to the court that the lender chooses. That's one approach. Rav Papa, he gives a different interpretation. He says, no, you could even say the halacha of our mission that says that the borrower could refuse the lender's choice of court, and until they reach a mutual court, he can't be forced to go. Is kagon beidina d'Rav Huna u'd'Rav Chizda. It's talking about that they're choosing between the courts of Rav Huna and Rav Chizda, where they're both in the same place. The kamalei, where the borrower tells to the lender, mikom atrachan alach, am I making it an effort for you to exert that I don't want to go to your courts, I want to go across the street to that other court? That's not a tircha. There, even the borrower could refuse to the lender. It's not like the halach of going to the Beis Avad. There, no, we force the borrower to go to the lender's court, where it's here, yeah, he could say, I don't want to go to your court, and it's not difficult for you to go across the street to go to the other court that I want. Then they're going to have to agree upon a mutual court. However, the Gemara asks on this interpretation that the Gemara gave for this halacha known as Zabla, which is Zebar Loyechad, which we're saying means to say, which when each one is not agreeing on the other one's court, then they have to agree on their mutual court. The Gemara asks, however, Tanan. We learned in the Mishnah, so that was Reb Meir's opinion. But it was called the Chacham disagree, and they say that it's not that this one, yeah, they agree that this one picks one and this one picks one, but what's with the third one, which up until now we're understanding based on the Gemara's answer, it means to say, each one's not agreeing to the other one's court, so then the final court, the third one, then they have to agree upon. Chacham don't say that. They say, Shnei dayanin bari lehen oyed echad, that the two judges, they choose another one. They choose that third one. Now, if you're going to interpret the Mishnah the way we were saying up until now, that it was referring to Bezdin, when we're saying that each one picks one, it means each one's choosing his own court, and therefore they're not agreeing upon it. So then they have to then choose together the third and final court, which they'll agree upon. So then the Chacham, then you'd be reading their opinion, would be that they're saying the same thing, that each one chooses a court, and they don't agree on that, they have different courts. So then those two courts, they decide on the third court that both litigants will attend to. So on that, ask the Gemara. Bezdin, Basa the Pasla, who the courts themselves, they're Bezdins. After they were voided, because each one could void the other ones, Azlu Baruluhu Beidin Achrina, they get to choose the third court, they're not even in the picture. Each litigant said, I don't want your Bezdin. So what, after that, they each passed each other's bezins, those bezins go and choose the third bezin? Well, moreover, asked the Gemara, my zeb baru lo echad v'zeb baru lo echad, according to the interpretation that we're giving for a mayor and the Chacham, that each litigant chooses one, sounds like, the wording sounds like that this is what they should do, that is the halacha. But according to our interpretation, that's not the halacha, it's if each one chooses one, meaning that they don't agree, then they'll have to find a third one that they agree on. But that's not the wording sounds like. The wording sounds like that this is what they should do. They should choose one. So Ella rather says the Gemara Hachakam. You're right. The interpretation of the halacha of the Mishnah is different. It means, not the way we were understanding it until now. That when it says this one chooses one, it means he chooses a court and he chooses a court. No. It means he chooses one of the three judges. And the other litigant chooses one of the other three judges. Then Shnein Boirin Lehen Oid Echad. Then the two litigants then together decide on the third judge. So each one gets to choose his own judge, and together they pick the third judge. And the Chacham were saying that no, the third judge is chosen by the two judges that were already appointed. Now ask the Gemara, Maishna da Avdi Hachi. So why is this that halacha? Why is it that we should do it this way? Which sounds like, yeah, this is how we do it. The two litigants each choose one judge, and then they choose the third one together. So Ami b'Maravim Mishmei Reb Zeira, they said in the West, Neretz Yisrael, in the name of Reb Zeira, that it's for this rationale. Miteich shezeh bar loy dayin echad, since this one chose his own judge. Vezeh bar loy dayin echad, and he chose his own judge to be on the court. Vishneim bar loy dayin echad, and then the two of them agreed upon the third judge. Then the judgment will come out to the truth. In other words, that the litigants will consent to the verdict, because even the guilty party will think, look, he says, I did everything I could have. And that is because I even chose one of the three judges. And if he would have found some merit for me, he would have found it. And therefore he agrees that, okay, if I'm guilty, I must really be guilty. And moreover, the judges for sure themselves, they're agreeable to try to find favor for both sides, because they were both chosen by both, and therefore they're agreeable to whichever way, and therefore the honesty of the court will ultimately be found to be the most ideal in this situation when each litigant chooses one judge, and then the third one they agree upon. Now, however, the Chacham said, as we quoted from the Mishnah, they said that it's not the two litigants who choose the third judge, it's the two judges who choose the third judge, Hulu, etc. So the Gemara says, "Name him, but Rabbi Yehuda Rav Kemefugish." They will say the Machlekes remain the Chachamim, but who chooses the third judge is that they're disagreeing regarding the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda Rav. Because the Amr Rabbi Yehuda Rav, he says, "Ein ha'edim chesim al ashtai." He says witnesses do not sign on a document. Elam ken yedin michesim iman. Unless they know beforehand who's signing on the document with them. The reason for that is because maybe after they sign, the one who's holding the document will add on another signature, that of an aid puzzle. And the halacha actually is that although they would be kosher on their own, when you tack on an aid puzzle, it invalidates all of them. And then it turns out they're embarrassed. What are you signing on a document which is not even valid because of the aid puzzle? So they don't sign unless they know who's signing with them. That's the halacha of Yehuda Merav. Says the Gemara, Remei or less late Rav Yehuda, Amarav. So it would seem like Remei does not hold that halacha. And therefore, those who are partaking of a testimony or of a court case don't have to know. It's not up to their consent, their awareness, who's the third party, who else is there. And therefore, the judges don't choose the third one. They're not concerned for the element about being embarrassed, in contrast to the halacha of Yehuda Merav. For Rabbanan, it's the Yehuda Merav. Whereas Rabbanan, they do hold the Yehuda Merav's halacha. And therefore, we need the understanding and the awareness and the consent of the judges to choose who's going to be the third party with them to make sure he's an appropriate individual. Where actually, as the Bach brings an amended version of Rashi, which says that because if the litigants will choose the third person, maybe the third judge won't be appropriate. And the two judges will not be able to say that we don't want to sit on the same court as him because they're going to be embarrassing him. But when they choose each one, when each litigant chooses one judge, if one of them doesn't want to be with the other one, that there's no concern because it's not going to be any embarrassment because they didn't yet convene the court yet. But once you already have two of them and they're choosing the third one, Rav Yehuda Merav is concerned for this element of embarrassment about what the outcome will be. And that's why they require that the judges choose the third person. So seemingly the machlekes is on this halacha of Yehuda Merav, where being aware about who is the third person, do they, the judges and the witnesses, have to be aware? So the Gemara like, no. The kula ama islo de Yehuda Merav, we could say that everyone agrees to his halacha. Now, v'das hadayon, kula ama lepligi de bin, and therefore by extension, just like we need the awareness of the witnesses before they sign, who else is on, who else is testifying, so do the judges need to know beforehand who's going to be the third person, and we need their consent. They do have to choose the third one. Now, ki pligi das bali dinin. What our machlekes in the Mishnah was, but do we also need the consent and awareness of the litigants? Remeir saver das bali dinin nami binin. He says, yeah, he agrees that the judges also have to choose the third one. But he says that besides that, the litigants themselves have to be also agreeable to that third judge. And therefore he said that they the two of them together choose the third judge. Rabbanan Savri das hadayon binan, whereas the Rabbanan hold that no, we only need the consent of the two judges because of Yehuda Merav's halacha. Das baladin and lebinan, we do not need the consent of the litigants, and therefore it says that the dayanim are the ones who choose the third one, but not because you don't, everyone agrees with Yehuda Merav's halacha that the witnesses and the judges need to know. The question is if the litigants also need to be on board about choosing the third judge. Now, Gufa, the Gemara now discusses the halacha that we just brought in, which we had entertained to say is the machlekes of Rav Merav, is the machlekes of Meir and the Chachamim. I'm Rav Merav. He says, Eina eid mechesim al ashtar b'chula, as we said, that witnesses do not sign on a document unless they know beforehand who else is signing on it. So the Gemara, Tanem halacha, is similar in the Braisa, this halacha. Kacha yunikiyah hadas shebi Yerushalayim oisin, that this was the custom of the fastidious ones, those who are pure of thought, that they would do of Yerushalayim, that this is what they would do. First of all, as the halacha that we just mentioned, lo hayachaysman al ashtar, they would not sign on a document elim kein yoydim michaysman, unless they knew who else was signing with them. Moreover, lo hayachaysman bedin, they would not sit in judgment unless they knew who else. Elim kein yoydim michaysman, as we said by extension, unless they knew who else is sitting with them on the court. And lo hayachnasan besuuda, they would not enter into a meal elim kein yoydim michaysman, unless they knew who is sitting with them at the meal, because it's embarrassing for a talmid chacham to be dwelling amongst the low class. Amaratzim by a suda, it's not appropriate for them, and therefore we see one of the halachas is this idea that they wouldn't sign unless they knew who else was signing with them. Then the Mishnah continued, and we had another machlekes remaining in the Chachamim, where Meir said, Zeh poisel dayanai that shal zeh, that this one could invalidate his judge, and it says, Zeh poisel dayanai shal zeh, and he could void his judge. In other words, he could say, what does it mean void? It means that I don't want to have my court case in front of that judge. Now, that the Gemara asks, Kol kimini de pasal dayani, what does that mean? Is that really a possibility that a litigant could void a judge? So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, he qualifies, and this is the Rabbi Yochanan we had referenced before. He says, no, of course he can't just void a regular judge that's on a Jewish bezdin. It's bar koisha besur yashana. We're talking about the secular Jewish courts that are in Syria. It's regarding those judges that he could say, I don't want to have my court case in front of him, and he could void him. But says the Gemara, what are you saying? But if it was expert judges, then Rabbi Yochanan is qualifying. It says, of course, Rabbi Meir would never say that a person could go ahead, a litigant, and void one of the dayanim on the court. And that is the Gemara, Bahamagatani Sefer. But look at the end, look at the next part of the Mishnah, which says, V'chachamayim, they disagree with Rabbi Meir, and they say, wait, Amasai, when could a litigant, when could a baldin void the dayan? Is only bizmancha may be rayish and kareb in the basul. That's only if he brings proof that the judge is a relative to the litigant or that he's invalid, I mean he's a thief or whatever it is. But if he was an upstanding individual or if he was an expert from the court, meaning a regular dayan, ain't the yachal apostle, then say the chacham, no, he cannot invalidate him. Says the Gemara, machlaldir and mayor, so the inference is that a mayor who is disputing, that he was saying, no, that even regarding an expert, dayan, not just these secular Jewish courts, that there also a mayor holds that the litigant could void that dayan, which is not like the way Rabbi Yochanan qualified. Says the Gemara, no, hachikam, this is what the Chum was saying. Avalam hoyu kesherin, the Chum was saying, but if the judge was upstanding, meaning he's not a relative and he's not pasul, even if he's someone that is not a learned individual, he is as if someone that's an expert from the court, which even that case you agree upon, you agree by mumchin that the litigant cannot void it. And therefore, we hold that the same thing is for a regular kosher individual, even though he's not a talmid chacham, and that you cannot void him. But of course, the chacham were not saying that they were disagreeing regarding the case of mumchin. They were saying that kesherin are like mumchin, because even Rabbi Meir agrees by the case of Mumchin, as Rabbi Yochanan qualified, he only holds that a baldin could be poisel, a dayan only by the arkoy shebesuriyah, but not a regular dayan. However, the Gemara says, Tashema, the Gemara comes to bring a proof, not like Rabbi Yochanan. The Braisa says, Amalai the Rabbi Meir, they said to Rabbi Meir, and on this halacha, as it's quoted in the Braisa, was like kolamenu. No, you can't have such a thing. It's not possible for a baldin to come to the court and say, I don't want that judge and void him. To invalidate a judge that is an expert for the people. So you see that what are the Chum disputing Rabbi Meir? What does Rabbi Meir hold that he could pasul? Is even the Dayan Mumcha, which is not like Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon says, no, Rabbi Meir would agree by Dayan Mumcha that he can't pasul. So the Gemara, no, Ema, you should say in the reading of the Braisa, Loikol Amenu, it's not from the feasibility, say the Chacham to Rabbi Meir, to invalidate a very popular secular judge that they had appointed upon themselves, which are the Urkor Shabbosuria. But you're right, a regular dayan on a regular bezdin, they're the Chum not disputing Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir would agree that, of course, the baldin cannot passel the dayan on the bezdin. Tanem Hoche, actually, we learned the Braisa the way we amended this last Braisa, which would be like Rabbi Yochanan had said, is la'ilam paisel v'haylech, that yes, a litigant could invalidate the judge on the court. Unless it is a type of a judge that was accepted by the public as an expert of the court, that's Divrei Meir. But one thing you see from this is that even Rav Meir agrees, if he is an expert, that the litigant cannot pass him. But the Gemara still asks on this interpretation of Rabbi Yechonon. So that's regarding the disagreement they have in our Mishnah regarding judges. But Vo'edim, the next case that they disagree in our Mishnah is regarding witnesses. K'mumchen domi. Now witnesses essentially are the same as expert judges, meaning if they're not relatives or someone that's intrinsically puzzle, so a valid judge is the same thing as a valid witness. They're the same thing, meaning it's part of the regular court Besdin process. And still, Rameyer says, Rameyer says that the litigant could void that person's witnesses. Now, that's the same thing. How can you void someone else's witness? It's the same thing as a regular dayan, a regular bezdin is an aid. What we consider a mumcha l'rab means to say an expert judge is a regular dayan on the bezdin. It's the same thing as a regular aid. So why do you tell me, Rabbi Yechonon, that no, of course a baldin cannot pass la dayan? It just means our koresh besurya. But then why does Rabbi Meir say that he could pass that person's aid? Obviously, you see that it's even by a mumcha l'rabim of a bezdin that Rabbi Meir holds that the baldin could invalidate, could void. And that says the Gemara, no, ha'itmar Allah, we had said on this statement of Rabbi Meir regarding the halach of Edim, that Amr Shlokesh, Rav Shlokesh had said, peh kadosh yemedav azeh, you think a holy mouth, as Rav Meir would say such a thing? How's it possible, and he was asking this question, that a Baal Din could just passel someone else's aid? Rather, Tanei Eidoi, he says you have to amend the Mishnah to read, not a dove, of course two witnesses come, he can't just void them. Rather, read it, his witness in the singular. That he could void. And therefore, that's why it's not difficult on the Rabbi Yechonon's interpretation of the halacha of Dayan, because of course, Mumch L'Rabim, of course he can't. Edim, of course not. Rish Lakish had amended it to say Edoi, yes, not Edim. On that, the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Edoi Lamai. When it says that other litigant brings an individual witness, for what? Elam Lamam, and if it was regarding monetary law, Rachmana Pasla, what does it mean that the other litigant could invalidate him? The Torah voids him, because the Torah says you have to have two witnesses and one's not enough. And Ila Shvu, if the other litigant brings the one witness to impose an oath, what do you mean? Himune mehemen kibetre. The Torah does believe one witness as two witnesses in regards to imposing an oath. So what do you mean the litigant could then go ahead and void that one witness? Who cares if it's one? He cannot just void a witness that the Torah does believe. Says Gemara, la'ilam lamamin. Truthfully, we're talking about when it's an individual witness regarding monetary law. So what do you mean? What does he have to invalidate? And the Torah invalidates him. The Torah says that it's not valid with one witness regarding extracting money. No, the case would be talking about the kibble aleha kibetre, which in the beginning of when they started the court case, is that this litigant says, I know you only have one witness, but he's a very honest person. I accept him as validity as two witnesses. And on that is what Rav Meir is saying, although he accepted him as two witnesses, you're right, I mean the Torah doesn't, and he wouldn't have to void him because the Torah voids him. But he already accepted, and a person could accept, there are certain such elements in halacha that if he accepts him as two, he has that validity of two. But then Rav Meir says, but if he wants to void him, he could void him. So that the Gemara said, then my kamash malan. So then what is this teaching of Rav Meir teaching regarding the witness that he could passel that one aid who he believes as two? What's that teaching? The Matzi Hadarbe, that what? That he could retract. Although he accepted him as two, he could back out and say, no, I don't want to, and that's how he could, that's what Rav Meir means when he could void him. And that has the Gemara. But Tanina, we already learned this as it's taught enough on the next daf, Chavdal and Alf, in the following halacha, that Amar Loi, if one of the litigants tells the other one, Neman Olai Abba, my father is trustworthy for me, which this is actually talking about to pick him as one of the judges, where although a father is not allowed to usually be a judge, but he says, I trust my father. And it's obvious there's too much judges from the fact that one of the cases are Neman Malai Gimel Rei Boker, which three is always for a court. So if he says, I trust my father, or Neman Malai Avicha, I trust your father too, I don't mind if he's one of the judges. Or Neman Malai Gimel Rei Boker, I trust those three shepherds. Rimeo Eimer, he says, although he accepted and he says, I agree, although the Torah doesn't require that, but he says, I'm okay with that. If they say that whatever the verdict is, I trust them. So if a person accepts, that will be the law. But Rameyu says that he could back out. He could go ahead and say, well, I'm not agreeable to that. I want to passel them now. The Chacham say that no, he cannot back out. Once he accepted it, that's what he has to go with. Now, as we continue to Talmud Beis, V'amr of Dimi Bereder of Nachman Bereder of Yosef, he said that this individual, the litigant, says that Ne'mon Alai Abba, that I trust my father to be one of the judges, is Kegain de Kibble Alei Abachad. It's when he accepted his father to be one of the three judges, where obviously his father is not supposed to be a judge, but there are two other kosher judges with him. Now, even so, even though he accepted the father to be a judge, but since his father is biblically invalid to be a judge for him because he's related to him, he could back out. So therefore, obviously, in our case too, since one individual is not believed for Dini Mamonis, but this guy's saying, I accept him as two, so of course he could back out. Just like in that halacha that we said, that since biblically he's possible, he could back out. So here too would be the same thing. Then why would we need Remeir to say this halacha two times? So the Gemara, no, it was necessary. Because the Itana Abba Vavicha, had we only said that halacha on the next daf regarding when he says, oh, I trust my father, or I trust your father, they could be on the court. Maybe Behokami Rabbanan, the Lematzi Hadde, maybe only over there do Rabbanan say that he can't back out. Why? Mishum de Abba Vavicha Chazul Alma, because although they're possible for these individuals because they're related, but they're fit to be judges in general, they're upstanding, they might even be Rosh Hashibas or Dayanim. So that's why the Chacham say, okay, so you can't back out. Once you accept it, since they're fit to be judges, so you can't back out. But regarding the case that we're discussing over here in our Mishnah regarding Edim, where there's only one aid, but the litigant said, I accept him as two witnesses, where one witness, no matter who he's trying to bring witness testimony for regarding a monetary law, he's not fit. So I would say then they agree to a mayor that since there's no validity to this guy at all, then when the one who accepted him to be his two could back out. That's why we have to say that no, even over there in the case of our Mishnah of Edom, that they can't back out and he can't pass on that one witness. And so too in the reverse. V'yashmin Bahad, we only said in our Mishnah that one witness when he accepts as two, that regarding that case, Bahakam Remeir, I would say that only the Remeir says that he could back out. Aval, but Bahahi over there, by the case of when he accepts his father as a judge, Eimim Moedul Rabban, I would say he agrees to the Rabbanan that he can't back out because they are intrinsically fit to be judges, just not in this case. But if he accepts, he can't back out. Tzricha, that was necessary to say the Halacha of a Meir in both cases, both in our Mishnah and on the next daf, yes, to teach this idea that since biblically this person's not fit, so then since he's one witness, even though he accepts him as two, he could pass him and say, I don't want him to be any more the witness. I don't accept him more as two. Whereas the Chacham disagree. So again, so that we used Rish Lakish as a way of resolving the question that we had on Rabbi Yechanan, because it seemed like that Edom are just like the Yonam Mumchen, and Rabbi Yechanan says that Remeir would agree that a litigant cannot invalidate a dying Mumchen. It's only our Karsh Besuria. But why is there any difference in Edom? So Rish Lakish says, no, it's not Edom, it's Edoi. And then we said, Eidoi, so what is Eidoi relevant for? It's when he accepts the one witness as two, and that's the Machlekes Remeir and Nacham, as we find elsewhere, where Remeir says that even though he accepted him, but he could back out, which is what it means when he says that he could passel that one aid. But the Gemara asks on Rish Lakish's amendation of the Halacha of the Mishnah, which was the source of resolving the question of Rabbi Yechanan, on Rabbi Yechanan. The Gemara asks, Hamadigtani Reisha Dayanoi, but if you look at the wording specifically of the Mishnah, there's two cases that Remeir and the Chacham disagree regarding if the Baldin can pasul that guy's Dayonim, and if he can pasul that person's Edim. Now, the wording when it spoke about the case of the judges was Dayonoi, his judge in the singular. The Seifa, in the next case when they disagreed, it said Edov, his witnesses in the plural. So Alma says the Gemara, so you see from the fact that it specifically changed the wording, that by judges it said in the singular and by witnesses said in the plural, the dafka gatami, that obviously it was specifically like that, and therefore we, not like Rish Lakish, want to say, you can't say such a thing. How could a person just void someone else's two witnesses? So Rish Lakish amended it to say Edoi. Says the Gemara, you can't say that. You see, obviously, you have a question, but obviously it was specifically Edov in the plural. And therefore that takes us back to the original question we had in Rabbi Yechanan, that, so then it's Edim, it's Edov. So Edov is the same as the equivalent of Dayana Mumchen. So then how is it possible, according to Rabbi Yechanan, that he could invalidate that person's witnesses? If Rabbi Yechanan says that Remeir would never say that he could invalidate Dayana Mumchen, it was only a Karsha Besuria, but then why is it any different in the case of witnesses? Rather, Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar explains that the halacha of the Seifa, which was regarding the case of Edim, that, so the question then was, so we asked, yes, so that's just like Dayana Mumchen. How could this guy invalidate, void someone else's witnesses based on Rabbi Yechanan's teaching? So says the Gemara, no, Rabbi Yochanan's teaching is correct. Rabbi Meir would never say such a thing that someone could just void a regular dayan mumcha. So why by witnesses in the plural, could he just void them? So Rabbi Elazar explains, it's tuma bebahu va'achr lepaislan. Not just himself, not the litigant himself. It's him with another witness that the two of them are testifying that those two edim are invalid, and for that he's believed. So again, so the case of dayanim is like Rabbi Yochanan said, it's tuma akar shebesuria. And it doesn't mean that he gets to invalidate them. It just means, I want to have a regular court. I want to have a regular dayan. I don't want to have these archaic, these secular Jewish courts. And therefore, he's believed that he could say he doesn't want that. But regarding the case of Edom, how's he believed? You're right, he's not believed himself. It's with him and another person. So they're like two witnesses. They could together invalidate the witnesses of that other litigant. So it's still the Gemara asks, Kol Kamina, is that really possible? How could you say he joins with another person to be a pair of witnesses to invalidate that witnesses? But negei be'edusehu, that's a bias in his testimony, this baldin. It's because he doesn't want them to testify against him that he's coming to invalidate them. How could he join with someone else to say something that's flawed about them as witnesses if he's negeia bedavar, and negei bedavar is not kosher witness? So Amar Vacha B'Rei Daviki says, kegein shekar lav arar. It's talking about where the litigant says that in front of us, in front of the court, he says why that those witnesses are possible, and he has someone else with him. Aror is some type of a flaw that's flawed in the witnesses. That's why it's okay for him, and there's no problem in the gay be'edus. So the Gemara says, what do you mean, Aror demai? What's the flaw that he's saying, which you're trying to say it's not a bias, it's just something that's generic in that person, which, yeah, by the way, now he's not going to be able to prosecute me anymore because his testimony is not going to be believed. But what is it that he's saying with someone else that's invalidating, that's showing a flaw in those witnesses? Ilim ar digaz lanusa, if it's that he's testifying with that other person that say, yeah, we know that this guy is a robber, and therefore that's nothing to do with just our testimony, he's fatally flawed in any testimony. Not the Gemara is kol kimine, but is that really a possibility? Negei be'edusehu. This is again a bias for his testimony. He's only saying that this guy's a gazan, so that he should not be able to testify against him in this court case. Ella rather says the Gemara, ar de begam mishpacha. It's talking about when he finds a flaw in the pedigree of that witness's family, and that is they're saying that he's an eved because he's from a family of slaves which were never freed. Therefore, him and his whole family are not kosher to be witnesses. That's the machlekes. Whereas Reb Meir Sava, he holds, Hani amishpocha kumasadi, this litigant with that other person, they're not testifying on that witness himself. They're testifying on his family. So therefore, it's a totally different testimony. It's not like biased or related to the court case that's at stake over here. He's talking about the guy's family. V'ihu memela kapasal. That witness just incidentally, obviously very convenient incidentally, but incidentally becomes invalid. But he's not testifying on this witness per se, it's not negei be'edus, he's talking about the guy's family. Rabbanan savi, but Rabbanan hold that no, safe, negei be'edus, who ultimately, this is obviously a bias over here, as anyone can plainly see, according to Rabbanan, and therefore they hold that, as the wording of the Mishnah, that he's not able to apostle to invalidate that person's aid of his witnesses, although he's talking about the family's pedigree regarding saying they're avodim, and any family member which includes this aid would not be kosher, it's still negated by aidus, and therefore he can't passel. That's one approach. The Gemara gives another approach to explaining the machlekes in our Mishnah. Ki asr avdimun, avdimi came on Rabbi Yechanan, he said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, that machlekes b'shtei ki to aidim, because again, we have this whole question, how is it possible for a person, a litigant, to invalidate someone else's witnesses? So the previous Gemara's approach was that, you're right, he can't do it himself, he's doing it with someone else. But still negei be'edus. We said, no, Rabbi Yehuda is not negei be'edus because Tobmat, the mishpachas, yichus, and that's how he's able to passel the edim. Whereas Rabbanan disagree. Rav Dimi said, name of Rabbi Yehuda, a different approach. He says, machlekes b'shtei ki to edim. Machlekes is regarding when there's two sets of witnesses. In other words, the litigant says in front of us that I have two sets of witnesses regarding this that I want to prove against the defendant. He brings the first pair of witnesses. Then the borrower, with another witness with him, say, they're puzzle. That answers the question where he's not a negei be'edus. Why? Because the lender had said that I have another pair of witnesses to prove my point. Now, if he ends up seeking for that second pair and he doesn't find it, he's going to lose out. Why? Because Remeir holds sarach that the litigant, who he's claiming he has two pair of witnesses, he has to be levar. He has to clarify and to authenticate every word that he claims in court. Now, when the other litigant with another person with him invalidates the first pair of witnesses, he's invalidating them even for other testimonies because he's saying that there's something wrong with him as an aid. Now, if they seek this out, and if the other litigant who said he has two sets of witnesses seeks and he finds another kosher pair of witnesses, so although the first pair is pasul, but he verified and clarified every claim that he said in court to bring. Now, although the first pair were not kosher, that he wasn't careful. He thought they were kosher, but ultimately he ends up clarifying it, and therefore he brings the second pair of witnesses, and he'll win with that. And therefore, Meir says there's no negei be'edus over here, because even if this leiver is going to validate with another person this first pair of witnesses, it's okay because this guy still has a second pair of witnesses to go ahead and get what he wants anyway, and he has to bring that because there's halacha of tzarich levar. You have to authenticate everything you're saying, which anyways he'll have to bring the second pair of witnesses. So since there's no negei be'edus, that's why the leiver is believed with another witness to invalidate this pair of witnesses. Now, Rabbanan hold that no ainat tzarich levar. It's not true. Although the guy claimed, oh, I have two pairs of witnesses, he doesn't have to. And he could ultimately back out and say, oh, I don't have a second pair of witnesses. So therefore, it will come out that if the leiva and another person would want to invalidate this first pair of witnesses, will come out that there is a bias. And therefore, they say that they can't pasul even this first pair of witnesses. Aval, but says the Gemara, Bekiat achas, if the claimant said he only has one pair of witnesses, says Rav Dimin in the name of Rabbi Yechon, and Divrei Hakol ein yochel pasul. Yeah, of course, everyone would agree, even Rav Meir, that of course the Baal Din cannot invalidate a pair of witnesses. How could you go ahead and invalidate a pair of witnesses? Now, however, Amru Lefan of Ravami Ravasi. Ravami Ravasi said in front of Rav Dimi that, let's say, ein sham elekat achas mahu. What would the halacha be if, let's say, there's only one pair? He only says he has one pair of witnesses. So the response is, Ein sham ele kat achas, what do you mean? Only one set of witnesses? Va'amr, but you already said, al bakat achas, if there's only one pair of witnesses, devya kol en yochel pasul. What do you mean? Everyone agrees in Ramea that then, of course, the leiva is no greater than the gei be'edus than that he cannot invalidate, even with another person, that first pair of witnesses. Ela rather says the Gemara, Nimtzis kat shniya kraven of psulim. The question that we had was as follows. If let's say, yeah, he said he has two pair of witnesses, but it ends up found out that the second pair of witnesses that he had to bring, that they were either relatives or pasul, meaning totally pasul and invalidated. So meaning by full-fledged testimony. Mao, what would the halacha be according to Rameir? What's the question? Do we say, oh, so now for sure it comes out that the leiva, his invalidating the first pair of witnesses is negei be'edus, is no greater bias than that, because since the other pair of witnesses are not kosher, the only one that would be kosher is the first pair. If he's invalidating them, that's getting him off the hook. Or maybe do you say that no, originally when he had testified with him and the other witness on the first pair of witnesses to invalidate them, at that point in time, they were not negei be'edus, because at that point in time, they still thought, they didn't know yet that the second pair of witnesses were invalid. And therefore, maybe you would say that it's not going to be a problem, and therefore they would be allowed to invalidate the testimony. That's the question according to Rav Meir. Now, Rashi actually brings that everything we explained up until now was according to the Girsa we have in our Gemaras. And we explained it according to Rashi's interpretation, but Rashi has a difficulty with this. First of all, he says that we're quoting this halacha that it's Rav Meir who holds Tzarich Levar, and this is what Rav Dimi's interpretation of the name of Rabbi Yechanan, and the Rabban held that in a Tzarich Levar. Problem he has with this is that if you're saying Reb Meir holds you have to be mevar, the way we explained it, that ultimately will not be a birur, because we said that according to the way we were interpreting in the Gemara was that, oh, Reb Meir holds, oh, it's not a problem. Yeah, of course he could pass the first pair of witnesses, because anyway, he's going to have to bring the second pair of witnesses because of the halach of tzarech levar, says Rashi, but that's not a birur, because since he's invalidating, the bar is invalidating the first pair of witnesses, Biru means to say, not that you just have to bring the second pair of witnesses, you have to show that everything you said is to be true. But if the bar is invalidating the first pair of witnesses, so it's he's not being mevar. And therefore, the testimony of the bar with the other witness with him is negei be'edus, because if he invalidates any part of his two pair of witnesses, the whole thing's down for the malva. Moreover, is because, and even if you're going to say that would be considered a clarification, because, okay, so it means to say that not if you show everything you said is true, it just you have to verify everything you're saying, even if the bar would invalidate the first pair of witnesses, it's still negay be'edus. Because if it turns out that the claimant cannot find a second pair of witnesses that are kosher, just a pair that's going to be pasul, so it's going to come out that he's going to lose from the invalidation of the first pair of witnesses, because had the loiva not invalidated the first pair of witnesses, he would have been able to claim the money through the testimony of the first pair of witnesses, and he would have just clarified his statement, if we're saying that claim that biru just means you have to show everything, but it doesn't have to be winning through that. So then you would prove it through the second one, even though they're puzzle. But now, because of the testimony of the loiva, he's losing. So how can you say that a mayor is the one who allows him to puzzle because of tzarech levar, when Rashi says no, to the contrary, tzarech levar would actually say that you would not be able to apostle the witnesses. So therefore, actually, Rashi says that the girsa that he holds primary should actually be the opposite of the girsa in our Gemara. It should be the Remeya holds that you do not have to be mevar. And this person who said that he has two pairs of witnesses, and he brings them, and it turns out that one of them is apostle, there's no problem. Because according to Remeya, you do not have to be mevar your words. And it's meaning, you don't have to verify and prove everything through every claim that you're saying. As long as some proof works out, it's going to be, you'll be able to win with that. That's how Rashi learns, that's what it means, tzarech levar. So then it's enough with one pair of witnesses that are kosher. Now, so therefore, this first, when he's saying that the loiva is allowed to pass the first pair of witnesses, because even if he does, it doesn't make a difference. As long as I have my second pair of witnesses, I win anyway. What does it mean that he's able to apostle the first pair of witnesses? It means he's able to, the loiva could invalidate the first pair of witnesses for some other testimony based on this testimony of the Baal Din and another person, because as we're saying, according to Reb Meir, he's not negei be'edus, because anyway he could win with the second pair of testimony. Whereas according to Rabbanan, that they hold that you do have to be mevar, you have to clarify and win through every claim that you're making, so it comes out that he is negei be'edus, because if he invalidates any of the two sets of witnesses, that will down the whole claimant's claim, and therefore they hold that the loiva cannot invalidate it based on that. Now, based on this version of the Gemara, the question of the Gemara now is, if let's say they find that the second pair of witnesses are relatives or pasul, the question according to Reb Meir is, although Reb Meir holds that you do not have to be mevar, but now, however, that there is no edus over here, because the second pair of witnesses were found to be pasul, so maybe then we would say that retroactively that the testimony of the loiva would be considered negei be'edus, or maybe that no, when they said testimony, they were not negei be'edus, even, and because at that point they didn't know the second pair of witnesses are pasul, therefore maybe that, in that case, Remei would agree that you would be able to pasul. But either way, the question is the same. Amalehen, so on that, Rav Dima responded back to them, kvahar idu edem harishayinim, that when they found the second pair of witnesses to be puzzle, we had already received the validity of this loiva's testimony invalidating the first pair of witnesses. And at that point in time, yes, they were not negei be'edus, because we didn't know the second pair of witnesses were puzzle. And since we already received their testimony in the court, they were believed to invalidate the first pair of witnesses, and therefore, although now it turns out that retroactively they're negei be'edus, but when they said it, they were not, and therefore it will stay that way, that they have already invalidated the first pair of witnesses. It could argue that those that say that it wasn't Rav Dimi who responded to the question, it was Amr Rav Asher. Rav Asher said, Kvar idu edim rishayinim, that the first pair of witnesses already testified, and therefore what's done is done, and therefore even though now retroactively it's negei bedavar, it's not going to undo their invalidation of the first pair of witnesses. So now the Gemara says, Neima beplukta de Rebbe Rebbe Shimon Gamliel Kamifli. Based on this interpretation of Rav Dima and Rebbe Yechanan, similarly the Machlekes Remei and Rabbana is the same Machlekes we find between Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon Ben Gamliel, which we had said that they're disagreeing according to Rav Dima in if Tzarech Levar or not. Similarly, that's the same Machlekes Tanan we find elsewhere. The Tanan, like Lin Abrais, Haba Lidin Bishtaru Bechazaka. If someone comes to contend with a document and with a Chazaka, with a possession of a piece of land for more than 3 years, meaning he's already muchzik in the karka, and still someone else, his friend, tells him, hey, what are you doing on this land? So he responds, he says, what do you mean, you sold me this land, I've already been consuming the produce on this land for 3 years, and moreover, I even have the document that you sold this to me 5 years ago. So, says the first opinion, nidun bishtar, he gets judged in the court case with a document. In other words, he has to produce the document to clarify what we call levar. He has to clarify his claims. And if he doesn't end up finding the document, he'll actually lose, and the chazaka is not going to work for him. Because although the chazaka always takes the place of the documentation, as the Rabbanan say in Baba Basra, until 3 years a person is capable of the documentation, but not more than that. Here, since he said, I have the document, well, then you have to be mevar your claims. If you can't, then you lose. That's Divrei Rabbi. He says, no, nidan mechazaka, which sounds like the Gemara assumes that he has to bring witnesses that he was muchzik on this land for 3 years, and the documentation is not going to help him win the case. So that the Gemara asked, Vavinba, we asked, Bechazaka v'loy b'shtar? What? He has to produce witnesses that he was muchzik on this land, and he cannot win with the document? But the document is the primary proof that he's the owner of this land. If he has a document, then the chazaka on the land doesn't clarify anything, because when there's a document, there was never a mention in halacha of having chazaka, because the whole purpose of the chazaka is only to take the place of the documentation. Where if he says that, he's saying that I had bought this land with a document, but I lost it after 3 years, and the chazaka takes that place. So how could Reb Shimon Levi be saying that you have to be judged with the chazaka? Eleima rather says the Gemara, no, it means af bechazaka. It means you could even win with the chazaka, meaning whichever one that you want. If he has witnesses that he was muchzik, then he does not have to clarify his word based on to produce the documentation. And by Kaimelon, then we had established the Bitzarch, Levar, Pligi, that what is the Machlegis Rebbe Shem Gliel? In this halacha, do you have to clarify every claim that you make? Or no, that was just extra. I don't have to. I could just bring witnesses that was muchzik. I don't also have to produce the document. That's what Rebbe Shem Gliel holds, which would be like the Rabbanan. Whereas Reb Meir is like Rebbe, who holds that you have to be Mevar. So similarly, it's the same Machlekes. So the Gemara, no. Ali with Reb Shem Gliel, kulam le'pligi. Right, according to Reb Shem Gliel, no one's going to disagree that he holds that you don't have to clarify your claims. Even if he said you have a shtar, you don't have to. You could just produce witnesses that you had a chazaka, which is enough to win that it's your land. But ki pligi ali with Rebbe. But when did we have this Machlekes between in our discussion that between Reb Meir and Rabban in our Mishnah? It could even be according to Rebbe. In other words, even the Rabbanan, who over here say you don't have to be Mevar, they could hold like Rebbe, who over there says you have to be Mevar. How so? The Remeya could Rebbe. Remeya obviously could be like Rebbe, because both of them are saying in both cases that you have to be Mevar, your claims. But Rabbanan, Amalach Rabban, would tell you, Ad kan lo kama Rebbe Hasam, until where do we find Rebbe over there who says you have to be Mevar, you have to authenticate every claim that you make? That's Ela B'Chazaka. That's only when someone was muchzik on a piece of land where the chazaka is not the primary proof. The mekech shtar kasi, really, the chazaka only takes the place of the documentation. That is, if let's say a person would make a claim on a piece of land that he said that, you want to know why I'm on this land? I just took possession of this land. No one ever told me anything. That would not be chazaka. That's only where he says, I bought it, I had a document, but I lost it because it's already 5 years. So therefore, when this guy tells him that you sold it to me, he sold it to me with the documentation, I just lost it after 3 years, that's the chazaka takes the place of that. So therefore, over here in this case, since he said that I have the document, oh, that's what Rebbe says, you have the document, that's really where the whole chazaka is coming from, you got to go ahead and clarify that. But Aval Hacha, over here in the case of our Mishnah, when he says that I have two pairs of witnesses and he brings one, since Tahani Edim, Lav Mekoich Edim Achrini Kasu, each pair of witnesses are not dependent one on the other. I feel the Rebbe might, the insert of Levar, even Rebbe would agree that he does not have to clarify his claim and to go ahead and bring the other pair of witnesses, because what shayches? I have one proof, I have another proof. When it's the shtar and the chazaka, yeah, you said you have the shtar, oh, we're not going to take the chazaka. Chazaka is only second best. It was only to take the place of the shtar. You have that, you have to clarify. But even Rebbe would agree to the Rabbanan possibly that if it's regarding two pairs of witnesses, you have one that doesn't require you to bring the other pair of witnesses too. That's according to our version of the Gemara, which Rashi says, but according to the other version that he wanted to amend the Gemara would be saying over here that even you could say that both Reb Meir and Rabbanan are disagreeing in the opinion of Rebbe, and Reb Meir would tell you that I would be holding even like Rebbe, because again, according to Rashi's version, it's Reb Meir who holds Ein Tzarich Levar, but in Rebbe's case would hold that you have to Mevar, and since the halacha usually is like Rebbe Mechaveroi, that's why the Gemara is attempting to say that both of them are like Rebbe, and they could still disagree, even though generally we would say whoever's opinion is that in a Tzarech Levar, in Rebbe's case, would agree that Tzarech Levar. But however, the Gemara says, Ki asa Ravin am Rabbi Yechanan. Up until now, the interpretation was Rav Dimon in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. The Gemara tells us when Ravin came, he said it over the name of Rabbi Yechanan, a different interpretation in the Machlekes in our Mishnah. Reisha, the halacha of the Reisha, where Rav Meir said that a Baldin could passel someone else's dying, as a Ketin Tabuch of Dalman Aleph, was talking about, because we had a difficulty with that too, where Rabbi Yechanan had said, you're right, it's not a regular dying, Mumchel Rabim, of course, that means our Koyesh Besuria. And then we had a question regarding the Sefer too. How could a Baal Din passel Edim, which that's what we're trying to address? Oh, maybe it means Acher Imai. Oh, maybe it's talking about when there's two pairs of witnesses, where then it's, you know, if regarding Tzarech Levar or not. Says Ravin in the name of Rabbi Yechanan that he'll explain both those cases of Dayanim and Edim. The Reisha, when it's talking about that the Baal Din could passel someone else's dying, was talking about Be'edim Psulim V'Dayanim Ksherin. When the litigant actually came to invalidate both the judges and the witnesses. And we found the truth that he was right, that we actually verified that the witnesses are possible. That's why we believe the Baal Din in his claim by saying that the judges are also possible. Why? Since we found out that it's true, that his claim of the witnesses, that they're false, that they're possible was true, so too, then we believe him based on that migui, that the Edom are also possible. And so to Seifa. The Seifa now we can explain the same way too. Was B'dayanim B'sulim V'etim K'sherim. Was talking about where it was turned out to be true, his claim that the judges were pasul, and they are pasul. That's why we believe him, although the Edim, we didn't disqualify them, we assume that they're kosher, but we believe him so too on the witnesses, according to a mayor, because the Migu, the pasul of the Yonin, since it turns out that he's right, that the judges were invalid, so pasul nam edim, so too we invalidate the witnesses. Whereas Rabbanan do not hold to the Migui. That's how Ravin explains the halachas of a Mishnah according to Rabbi Yechanan. Now, Maskevah Rav, however, asks on this. He says, Bishlem and Migu, the pasul edim, pasul nam the Yonin, we understand the halacha of the Reisha, which is that he could pasul a dying. How could you pasul a dying? Because since it turns out that the witnesses were false, so we believe him to say the judges were also invalid. The reason for that is we could allow such a migui because it could be din achrin, because there are other judges out there. And therefore it's not considered such a negeya be'edus, because what's the difference? Well, he's really winning with that? We just get other judges. But regarding the case of the Seifa that Ravin is saying from Rabbi Yechanan, that since it's true that he invalidated the judges, so we believe him to invalidate the witnesses, but for Edom Sulekah, but there are no other witnesses. Judges you can get. There's many learned people that are judges. But witnesses, how could you say that? He's a negei bedavar for sure for that. So why, how would Migud be allowing such a great strength to even invalidate the witnesses? Says the Gemara, no, tzricha, it's necessary. We're talking about de'ikah katacheres. You're right. We're talking about that there is another pair of witnesses. And as we said, that tzarech levar, you have to anyways bring the other pair of witnesses. So therefore it's not considered negei be'edus. So the Gemara asks, wait. Haleka katacheres mai. So what are you saying? If there was no other pair of witnesses, what would halacha be? Hachanami dulei matzei pasi. You would say that, yeah, of course he cannot invalidate the witnesses. So then says Gemara, hainid Rav Dimon. So that's exactly the interpretation of Rav Dimon, name of Rabbi Yechanan, that it was only because when there's two pairs of witnesses that he claimed that he had, and then we said because based on Tzarech Levar, so that's why he's believed to invalidate him. So how is Ravin different than Rav Dimon? Says Gemara, ikimenayu migui. The difference between them is regarding this principle of migui. With Demar, this last interpretation of Rav and Sabah, he holds Amina Migui, that in general we say this principle of Migui, as we're saying over here, that since there's a Migui, that's why, since he's right by invalidating the judges, so therefore he can validate the witnesses. But if not for that, then Remeir actually would not allow him to invalidate the witnesses. Whereas Rav Dimi, Sabah Loy Amina Migui says we don't say generally this principle of Migui to allow the disqualification. And actually over here, he actually said even without the migui, he could invalidate the first pair of witnesses. Because as we said, based on the principle of Tzarech Levar, whereas that's the difference between them regarding the principle of migui, where Ravin's only allowing it because of migui. Yeah, and you have to have two pair of witnesses with that. Whereas Rav Dimon says, no, generally I don't hold to the principle of migui. And here it's working without that. It's only because anyways Tzarech Levar, so it's not going to be considered negei be'edus anyway.